Following is a live LV Rocks original webcast. Visit LVRocks.com for studio cam and live chat room.
Welcome to Subject of Discussion. I'm Debbie Hall with my co-host, or host, Sean O'Mac. You're listening on LVRocks.com. Join us in the chat room or call in toll-free 1-866-LVRocks. And here in Southern Nevada, 702-383-8120. And, Sean, we're going to start off with the news. Such a dead heat with the election.
Absolutely. And we do have our guest on the line. Lady Liberty, you can hear us?
I can hear you.
Welcome. Let's go through some of the basic things that are in the news today with the election, if you want to. First of all, tell the guests a little bit about yourself and your point of view and your website. It's a wonderful website, by the way.
Oh, thank you very much. Well, what I basically do is work on the Internet to educate the public. I have always felt that a whole lot more people would be a lot more involved if they just knew a little bit more and maybe had a little incitement to do a little bit more. So that started out to be my job, and of course, at this point, it has pretty much taken over my life.
Oh, very good. Yeah, I've seen you had an interview with Michael Bednarik, which was about 3 weeks ago, and was it Liberty for All online news magazine? Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
It was very, very well put together. I compliment you on the article. Very in-depth, and you let him say his piece or anything. Like, we had him on a few weeks ago as well. So. Right now we have issues going on with the election that, of course, this week the big news is Supreme Court Justice William Rehnquist has gone down with thyroid cancer, and it's brought up questions about the Supreme Court, whoever the next president is going to have to appoint, another Supreme Court Justice and also Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. Lady Liberty, what do you think about that?
I don't think there's much question that whoever the next president is, he is going to end up nominating and appointing more than one justice. The fact that Justice Rehnquist is having some physical problems at this point may bring something a little earlier rather than later, but regardless, there will probably be, I would guess, maybe three or four replaced during the next president's tenure, which makes this race all the more important.
And it's such a tight race. I mean, what is your opinion? I mean, it's just such a dead heat. You really can't believe the polls other than it's anybody's guess who's going to win.
What's been really interesting to me is that a poll just came out yesterday from CNN, and that particular poll showed George Bush leading the race, not by very much. It's still almost a statistical tie. But what I found interesting was the huge number at the end of the poll, 44%, who said, it doesn't really matter which of the guys I'm voting for. I don't like either of them.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow. Well, it's like here in Las Vegas, you can go to the machine and press none of the above, and I have a feeling that might just beat the two of them.
Yeah, I think it could this year around. I really do.
I did vote yesterday, I have to admit, because we have early voting in the malls here, so it works for me. I can go shopping and vote and continue shopping.
Yeah, and drop a few nickels in the slot machine,
right.
Do all that, and I think basically on the same machine.
Yeah.
You can vote and play the slots on the same one. I think for the men, they'll check your prostate. I don't know. But what do you think of the election season, Liberty? It's been a horrendous, nasty campaign. It seems like ever since it started.
Everybody talks about how dirty politics is, and that's not something that's recent. Politics has been pretty dirty for a couple of hundred years now. But I have to say, in all the time that I've been watching this kind of thing closely, this probably is the nastiest campaign that I've ever seen.
I always say I'm from Chicago, and I thought we had nasty politics back there with the dailies and the machine and everything. And you come out here, a friend of ours, Lou Epton, used to be on KLEV.
Yes.
He's also from here. He used to call this area, this is Clark County, but he called it Crook County because you're used to seeing it so nasty on the local level, but in the national level, just this name calling, and you got all these 527s, ripping in, the SWIP boat vets, and you got the Texans for Truth, then you got the media fund. I mean, just it's been I think it was horrendous. I mean, what would you think about it, Miss?
They're spending millions of dollars calling each other names and telling me why it would be really bad if I voted for the other guy. So far, nobody's told me yet why it would be really good if I voted for him.
True.
And I have to wonder, maybe they've run out of good things to say. There just aren't that many.
Lady Liberty, what state are you located in?
I'm located in the Midwest.
Okay. The reason I say because Nevada right now is a swing state. And so now, have you noticed, Sean, in the media and the political campaign time now, all the Democratic candidates are coming out, or
yes,
the Republican candidates are coming
They're
out?
They're all coming out. Giuliani was here the same day that Kerry was here. John Kerry had his rally at J.C. Park, and then Clinton's coming to town on Saturday as well. And you know, they're trying on everybody. I think even Ted Kennedy's coming down on Monday. So they're fighting. We only have 5 electoral votes, so they're fighting for every vote they can get. Have you seen anyone come through your neighborhood, Lady Liberty?
Actually, a lot of them have come through here. I happen to live in a battleground state myself, so I've been seeing commercials virtually every break. There is a commercial for one candidate or the other, national candidate. The local candidates obviously are riding on the coattails of each of their national candidates. But in the main, it's just incessant. You cannot get away in the newspaper, on the radio, on the television, no matter what channel you tune to. Everything right now is politics in my state.
Even this World Series, I mean, they're saying, oh, if the Red Sox win, Kerry's going to, sweep to the election. The same thing with the football game coming. The Redskins, let me get this straight. The Redskins lose, that means Bush will lose. If they win, I can make that mixed up. Anyway,
right.
If they, something happens,
No, you're correct.
if they lose, Bush will lose, and if they win, Kerry will win. So, I mean, everything's going to, and they have that, if the incumbent is up by at least 50% of approval before the election, he'll win. And I think all that's out the window, don't you?
I think this is nothing but a statistics game right now. And if you go ahead and lay out a bunch of numbers, you can make them say whatever you need them to say. The numbers are just too close to interpret with any real accuracy.
How long have you been involved in the political process? I mean, I've seen your site. You say you've been you're a defender of the Constitution, which I highly commend, and then workers' rights. Is that correct?
Not really so much workers' rights in that sense. I'm very involved in the idea of civil liberties under the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, the way they were originally presented, not the way that they've come to be interpreted, but the way they were presented in the Federalist Papers to the 13 colonies who were considering ratifying the Constitution. So I defend workers' rights and everybody's rights in that regard. As far as special treatment, things like affirmative action, those are things I believe are unconstitutional.
And so Lady Liberty, obviously you're involved with this campaign. Are you involved with any of the local politicians where you're at right now?
I do some work with local politicians. In fact, by virtue of what I actually do for a real job, I do work on some campaigns in a marketing capacity. But on the national level, I have thrown support, endorsements, given publicity and everything to my candidate of choice on my own time. So, I'm involved to an extent locally, but I work mostly on a national basis.
And so now when you say national, obviously the presidential election, are there any issues that affect the federal government or affect the country nationally that you're working on?
Well, I think the things that I work most on right now as far as the national level are things like the Patriot Act and the tremendous violation of civil rights that's turned out to be. Things like the Matrix database, the Multi-State Anti-Terrorism Information Exchange Program, civilian program.
One more time.
Not being funded by the Defense Department, and the Department of Justice have both given a lot of money to it. Things like the brand new program that's just come out to replace CAPS 2 by the Transportation Security Administration. That's a real civil liberties danger too. So I guess I probably pay the most attention to things that are a direct and immediate threat.
And now I'm curious, Yucca Mountain, I know it affects us here in Nevada, but actually it's a national issue because of the transportation issue that it will be crossing the country to, transport the material to Yucca Mountain. Do you have any feeling or any opinion about that?
In the main, I think that the transportation is a lot safer than some of the cry wolfers would have you believe. Is there a potential disaster there? Yeah, of course there is. There's a potential disaster every time a rail car filled with chlorine comes through town, too. It's just dependent on how safe they keep the transport. And I'm willing to bet that given the sensitivity of what they would be transporting, it would be a very, very safe shipment, and the chance of anything happening are close to none. And they're close enough, in fact, that I have no qualms about it. And I say that knowing that those rail cars will be coming pretty close to where I am.
Now, going back to the Patriot Act, you get some people like the Republicans and John Ashcroft will say, well, we need to infringe on some of our civil rights in order to, you know, catch these terrorists. You know. But here in Las Vegas, they used the Patriot Act to go after some county commissioners. We have some politicians under indictment, and they used the Patriot Act to actually activate somebody's cell phone without them knowing, so they can eavesdrop on their conversation. You know, their conversations in the cars with the people. I mean, I think that's ridiculous. I mean, that Patriot Act is supposed to be, if we're supposed to live with it, it's supposed to be for terrorists, not for eavesdropping on local politicians.
So the Patriot Act was originally passed because the Department of Justice promised it would only be used for terrorism activities. And as it turns out, as you're all too well aware, in Las Vegas, you've got a couple of cases there where it was misused. Mm-hmm. There's a case in Florida where it was, and I've no doubt that there are plenty of others. It was a tremendous expansion of law enforcement powers, and they're not hesitating to use it no matter what the crime or even the perceived crime.
So I'm kind of, wow, I'm amazed at just the knowledge and just really how well that, you know, and I don't mean that as a put-down. I was just amazed listening to your answers that you're just very well thought out. You're getting an opinion out there. What made you choose Lady Liberty, and what made you choose that persona?
Well, I like the idea of the Statue of Liberty as being a real symbol that's recognized around the world of what America is supposed to stand for, the freedom, the civil rights, and so forth. I'm also, in all honesty, I'm kind of a girly girl. I like to dress up and wear the jewelry and that kind of thing, and I thought calling myself a lady was certainly more appropriate than going after Samantha Adams, for example, was something that at one point got thrown out as an idea to me. So the combination of the symbol and the recognizability of it, and then, of course, the femininity, I just wasn't able to resist.
I'd like to read something from the chat room from Cyber Sorcerer. People just don't get it. Politicians lie. You can't believe a word they say. Mm-hmm. Comments?
I think that in probably 99% of the cases, that person has it dead to rights. Mm-hmm. There are a couple of politicians out there who I do have a lot of respect for, who I truly believe are patriots in the sense that the founders believed future politicians would be. They're fully intending merely to serve the country and to uphold the Constitution. And offhand, I can name one in Congress, just one. And I can name one presidential candidate. And that's not very good. I'm deeply grateful that these two men exist, but I am sad that out of over 400 in Congress, we've got one.
Well, my comment is, it now takes an enormous amount of money to run for any office, especially anything on a national level. I mean, you have to be a multi-millionaire, and I don't care if Kerry is married to Teresa Hines Kerry.
Mm-hmm.
He needed her money to run for president, let's be honest.
Absolutely.
And so do you have any suggestions or any thoughts on how we can change the system?
One of the things that I had considered some time ago where so many of us have the opportunity to donate money on our tax forms, for example, and there is a large government, a federal slush fund, that's doled out to candidates in matching funding, or those candidates anyway who qualify to receive it. I have always thought that if you just divvied up the money and everybody was allowed to have however many TV commercials they could buy with that money, and television had to give them the lowest rates, radios, again, the lowest rates, and so forth, that's it. That's the money that you had. And any legitimate candidate from a legitimate party would get the same X dollar amount that the other guys got. If you ran out, too bad. But that way, at least the playing field would be completely leveled. Because you're right. the rich guys can buy an awful lot more TV time than the not-so-rich guys can.
Now, also the other thing, though, the trouble that why that won't work is there's also organizations that buy time supporting their candidates.
The 527s and all that business. What do you think of those?
The 527s, of course, you know, the result of campaign finance reform and somebody jumping in a very large loophole to get away with continuing to run such commercials so close to the campaign or so close to the election, rather. I don't want to shut down anybody's free speech. I think campaign finance reform itself was a violation of free speech for a lot of organizations and groups and candidates. But by the same token, if there isn't some reform that actually is real reform, not what they passed this time, but real reform, we're going to be stuck basically with the richest candidates. And just because you have money, maybe you're even a good businessman, or you know how to marry wealthy wives, in the case of John Kerry, I just don't believe that that makes you qualified to run your own household, let alone the country.
Now, what about, I know a couple states have experimenting with plans to have public financing. I think Maine and there's one or two other states that have a pilot program where they can opt out just to accept, I guess, money from the state of Maine, apparently. I don't know how that's going over. Do you know anything about that?
I don't. We're not doing anything like that where I am, and I've heard very little about it from the few places that are trying it.
And I know the McCain-Feingold, that they attempted, they thought this was going to tie up all the loose ends of the campaign finance, but actually they say you could drive a Mack truck through one of those loopholes in that law. And I actually feel sorry for Senator McCain. You know, it's been one of his cornerstones for at least 10 years I can remember. I mean, I just hope they can go back, and I think they are going to go back after the election, correct?
Yes, I would expect that they are going to. The 527s, in fact, they did try to declare some sort of a moratorium, which obviously didn't get very far. But I know that that's a big concern, and I expect it'll be revisited probably right after the elections. I can't imagine they'd even wait till January for this.
Now, hot topic do you see out there? I mean, you're on the internet all the time. What is the key thing you think is going to push this election one way or the other? Do you think it's, you know, Rehnquist with his thyroid, or that weapons cache in Iraq, which supposedly, you know, how many, was it 360 tons that supposedly disappeared? I mean, what do you think is going to tilt the election one way or the other?
Well, I just read a comment from Dick Morris the other day, and he thinks that if the election turns out to be about the war, that the president will win, and if it turns out to be about peace, John Kerry will win. I think that the two men are still so close together that it's really going to depend on what people like Ralph Nader and Michael Bednarik and David Cobb and Michael Peruka, what kind of numbers can they get. In several states, Michael Bednarik more than covers the spread between the two major candidates. And if that's the case, what happens in those states with his vote is going to decide who gets that state's electoral vote.
I know in Arizona, I saw a poll just today that Michael Bednarik is, according to the, I think it's Arizona State, and ran a poll, supposedly he's pulling 3% of the votes. So that's very commendable. He's ahead of Nader, and of course Nader's had all the publicity and everything, but it's very commendable of it. And there's a couple states. I know Nevada is kind of in play for him, not really in play, but where he can actually be the spoiler, and they say probably for George Bush, because his message is he appeals more to the conservative voters than the liberals.
Right.
Yeah, so hopefully, and actually, I meant to say, I did see his commercial today. He's running his commercial. It's on Fox News. I saw it today on Tonight, actually, guy on Greta Van Susteren's program. Very, very well put together. Yeah, I thought it was going to be another one of those, you know, Harry and Sally commercial, whatever. Yeah. You know, the couple, he sit there talking about the insurance, but it was Bednarik's commercial that, you know, he's discussed it with the both of the candidates, and his wife suggests they vote for Bednarik. I mean, it's very, very well put together.
Oh,
have
no,
you seen the ads?
I saw the ads.
Lady Liberty and Debbie?
Yeah, I have seen the ad, and I appreciated not just its content, but the tone. It's not anywhere near as strident as a lot of the other commercials.
Yes, yes.
And the other thing I've noticed, and this has just been the last couple of days, and I'm certain, Sean, and maybe Lady Liberty, you've noticed it too, the number of celebrities that are coming out. Actually, Robert Redford taped a commercial for Shelley Berkley, who is a candidate here in the state of Nevada.
Wow. I mean, you notice that too, Lady Liberty? A lot of these celebrities are coming out of woodwork. I mean, you got Affleck with Kerry and his daughters, you know, at the convention. You got the George Bush's twins all over the place. And you got, you know, everybody and their brothers out there. You know, I mean, it's amazing how this election seems to be drawing everybody into it, huh?
There's always been a few celebrities out there, but I've never seen anything like this.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And then it's funny how everybody, now the angle is the presidential election. For example, the History Channel had, who's the guy from The Smoking Gun? Mo, you know who I'm talking about. Mo, he's got the big glasses.
Oh, Mo Rockhouse.
Yeah,
right
thank
there.
You.
Oh,
I can't
yeah.
remember his name. Well, they have him doing a special how American presidents have gotten elected through the centuries. And VH1 is doing their thing. Everything is now about this presidential election. You know, it's just amazing how the media has glommed onto it. You notice I use the word glom, because it's not like this is the first presidential election they've ever covered, but something about this election for some reason, and the fact it's such a dead heat, you know, it's just everybody's got to talk about it.
This is going to be probably a monster election turnout this time around. You can forget talking about voter apathy. It's not there this year. The biggest problem is going to be if this election stays as close in numbers of balloting as it is on the statistics. I don't know that we're going to know who our president is on November 3rd.
I saw an article in the paper. I don't know if I brought it, but it says that there's, I think it's 45% of the people do not believe that by November 3rd we'll have a clear-cut, president of the United States. Mm-hmm.
Even if we do, I don't know if it's true in every state, but I know where I live, literally every county in the state has already got an attorney watching the election returns and looking for any kind of irregularity, and they are ready to slap lawsuits down immediately that evening if that's what it comes to. And that's any kind of irregularity, whether they believe they see something involving a violation of campaign finance reform or some kind of a miscount or ballots not counted properly, anything at all, they're ready to roll.
You're listening to Subject to Discussion. I'm Debbie Hall with Sean O'Mac. Our guest this evening, Lady Liberty. Join us on the chat room at lvrocks.com or call in toll-free 1-866-LV-ROCKS or here in Las Vegas at 383-8120. Now, my comment, we were talking, I actually lost my train of thought, and it was very profound what I was going to say.
We'll start calling you Miss America.
Lady
Liberty went out Miss America. How come you didn't take that name, Lady Liberty?
Well, I thought that might be just a little bit too much over the top, even for me.
I'm just kidding.
Well, ABC is dropping, the Miss America pageant.
That's right.
You could help keep the name alive.
Yeah, now I see your website, you also write for several other sites, and I saw your interview with Michael Benarek and Liberty for All, and then I read you just got picked up for, Exit Stage Right or something like that?
Interstage Right.
Would you write different columns for them? Are you like syndicating your column, or?
A lot of what I do is syndicated. Occasionally, I will write a special piece for various publications, basically as they ask me to, or as it's needed, or if it fits somebody in particular. There's a libertarian website in the state of Colorado that I've written a little bit for, Sheriff Bill Masters. I did a book review and an interview with him that they published, that kind of thing. But for the most part, what I write is for my website and several other places and syndicated.
I do remember what I was going to bring up while we were talking before I did the station identifier about how all the lawyers are watching the voting. Sean, did you notice when you voted here in Nevada that they actually print up the ballot? They print up a receipt that goes into the machine.
Yes. Well, that's always been an issue here in Las Vegas. I know... years ago when I was in the United We Stand America there's a big thing about the votes not counting and the Sequoia Pacific machines were rigged and all that. So I think they've gone out of their way. You can actually take the voting receipt with you. You can look at it on the little screen.
Right,
you can see if it's right. And then and that's it. Do you have a similar machine to that where you live, Lady Liberty?
No, I don't in my county. There is some issue here in this state with electronic voting. They do have some of the new machines and some of the ones that have been said not to be terribly reliable. We'll have to see what happens, but that is some potential very real fallout here. I actually still vote on a piece of paper where you color in the dots did back on the school test, and it runs through a computer that reads the colored in ovals.
Well, that may be the best, instead of going to all this high-tech business, why don't you go back to, everybody knows how to fill in an oval for crying out loud. If you've taken a test in high school, I know he hasn't, but I'm kidding. But, I mean, it might be a simple solution, because I know that every county in Vegas, we switch our machines. They're all going for the gadgets and the blinks. I mean, you vote, and then, you know, the siren goes off, you vote for the wrong guy or something. But, you know, maybe going back to a simpler way of voting. Because I know a lot of senior citizens, when I was voting, the lady next to me asked me for help, and I said, I'm really not supposed to be helping you vote, but here, I'll help you press this button.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I just think maybe we should go back, you know, maybe take a step backwards and go use those ovals. What do you think, lady?
Well, the electronic voting, I think, is great. I think technology is wonderful. But the problem is, and any of us who've ever had a computer know this, when it goes wrong, it goes very, very wrong. And you don't know when it will do that, and you never know why. It just happens. Plus, the potential for intentional damage is through the roof on these electronic machines. It's not to say anybody would sabotage one, but they could.
Mm-hmm.
And paper ballots are a whole lot harder to do that with. You have to actually destroy them. With the electronics, you can just change the vote.
Yeah, and a lot of these, I know how here, but the Sequoia Pacific, there's this way they said there's not a for sure way they can go in and recount those cassettes they use on those machines. So I don't see why we can't go back to the Scantron-based voting system. I think it would be the best solution of all.
I do too. Right. Speaking about that, what is everyone's opinion on the possibility of internet or voting on the internet?
Bad idea.
I
mean, you think about it, they can steal your ID off the internet. I mean, think about stealing your vote. I mean, that'd be opening up a whole can of worms there.
Yes.
I mean, I don't know. Have they tried any pilot programs with voting machines or anything where you live, Lady Liberty?
I think not where I live, but I believe that they have done some pilot programs with internet voting, and it's worked fine. They've set it up in such a way that every computer can only vote once and that sort of thing. But what I would be concerned with is the transmission of the data and the storage of the data. There is never been invented any kind of truly secure storage system. Anything can be hacked if somebody's got the time and the motivation to do it. One of my big things, obviously, is privacy, and I harp on that all the time. You can't do this on the internet and expect to keep it private. Well, how could you possibly vote and expect to keep it reliable if that's how you're running the system?
Yeah, true. Now, looking at the other parties, we've got the Democrats, Republicans, we've got the Libertarians and the Greens. Do you think there's going to be a third party, a strong third party candidate that we can hang in there with the top two eventually down the road?
I think there will be. I think that the problem this year and in the past, frankly, has been a lack of media exposure. And a lot of that has been orchestrated. For example, the Committee for Presidential Debates actually has made John Kerry and George W. Bush signed paperwork that promises, I won't debate anybody else anywhere else. I'll only work with the other guy and with you people. I won't debate anyone else ever. That effectively cuts any candidate but the big two out. I think if there were enough publicity and if there were some real debates where all the major party candidates were included, that we would eventually see a third party candidate, and probably sooner rather than later, give a heck of a showing and maybe even win. I mean, in a year like this, 44% not happy with the Democrats or the Republicans.
Well, we've talked about this with other candidates and other guests on this show, and part of it is we need to have a candidate. Now, Perot had the money, but I don't think he had the presence. We need a candidate with both the presence and the income.
Yeah, to be president, you have to be presidential. Don't you agree?
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
Whether it's for good or for ill in the world of television and movies and everything else, you've got to have the charisma to get into office.
Now, what about Jesse Ventura? Now, he's been governor. Now I saw him on TV the other day. Now I'm not sure I want him to run, because now he's got this beard. Looks like a goat now. He's got these strings coming down, and he looks, he endorsed Kerry, but he didn't speak himself. He had somebody else do it. I mean, what is going on here? I mean, he says he ran for 2008. He's got to be keep an eye on his image. Don't you agree?
I would think that if he's serious about doing that, he would keep an eye on his image.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, Jesse Ventura has never really cared a whole lot what people think.
True.
That's one of the reasons he got elected governor of Minnesota, was because he didn't care what people thought, and so he told them what he really felt. And I think that the voters understood, wow, we have a candidate. I may not like everything he says, but look at him. He's telling me the truth. I can't get over that. And so they voted him into office.
True. I think if he was running this time around, it'd be it'd be a war between all three of them. I just think because Ventura's got, you know, like I said, he doesn't care what people think of him. He'll be in the, he'd be in their faces, and he, I think he figured out some way to get in those debates. Right. I don't know. I mean, I'd like to see him on stage with Bush and Kerry just going back and forth, you know, bashing the two of them. I mean, they'd be entertaining because the two of them.
I don't know. Michael Bednarik got arrested. So did David Cobb.
True.
Right outside the debates.
True.
And the only place that I read about it was in the British press.
That's right, yeah. I mean, when Bednarik came here to the state of Nevada, it wasn't even covered. Sean and I, who we both, you're talking to two people really cover the news, were stunned.
I had no idea. And he said, I was just there a week ago. I'm like, really?
Yeah.
Well, our local news media is horrendous. I mean, unless there's a volcano blowing up on the strip, you're not going to hear about it. I mean,
exactly.
That's all they seem to cover. You know,
right.
I know today in the news they covered some crazy low-speed chase into the Cannery Hotel. I mean, good grief.
Oh, yeah.
20 minutes doing that. They could be focusing on a campaign or other issues. I mean, are you disgusted with the media as well as we are, Lady Liberty?
I am beyond disgusted with it. There are people I know who would really like to call it a conspiracy, and I don't think that it is. I don't think that the big media got together in the halls of some building in New York City and said, okay, here's what we're going to talk about, and here's who we're not going to allow on the airwaves. I don't think that ever happened. I do think, however, that there's so much money right now in politics, particularly in the two major parties. Television is a commercial enterprise. So is radio. So are newspapers. And I think they're going where the money is, where the big stories, so to speak, are. And unfortunately, they were supposed to be the fourth estate, the ones who kept the other three branches of government honest. And they're failing miserably in their job by following the money and by following the popularity rather than following the news.
Well, especially with, you know, the Dan Rather and his Rather Gate, and then we got NBC somehow doing, and then ABC was holding back the story about the something else today. I think it was the weapons, you know, cachet. They're holding that back, and they're going to drop it on the weekend. And same thing with 60 Minutes. They're working on a story, and they were going to drop it on Sunday. And then the New York Times jumped on, and they said, "Well, we have to let it go now." I mean, it's been crazy how they've all basically come out and admitted who they are. I mean, before they, oh, no, we're not for Democrat or Republican. Now they're all blatantly, hey, we're helping Kerry try to win this thing. I mean, I think it's horrendous.
I do, too. Now, what do you think about the Internet as possibly being a source? Now, the trouble with the Internet, of course, is that you can't confirm, you know, credibility. I mean, let's face it, anybody could put a website up and say anything they want to, you know, which is kind of the good news. It's kind of that double-edged sword type of thing. But at least with the Internet, we can get information because the Internet at the moment is not dependent on advertisers or not dependent on other sources of income.
Well, you say anybody can make a website and say anything they want, and I think pretty much everybody has done that now.
Yes.
As far as there are some major news medias that are exclusively on the Internet that have turned out to be pretty reliable, basically the Internet made Matt Drudge. Drudge made his own reputation by, you know, being right and getting some pretty big stories. I think that his attention drawn to the Internet got a lot of people looking at it as a news source, and that because of that, it has been getting better and better and more reliable as time goes on. I think that people who get online, you can look at a website, and just by the way it looks, let alone the tone of what it says, you can tell if this is somebody who's reporting or somebody who's saying, hey, this is what I think, or somebody who's just maybe a little far to one side or the other and sits at his keyboard wearing a tinfoil hat.
Yeah.
Good point there.
Very good. Well, Lady Liberty, we're going to get moving. We got our Newt Gingrich thing. So when I talked to her on the Internet, she goes, oh, what did you say? You want a big responsibility following them two or something?
No, I thought it was a big responsibility for them to follow me.
Good.
Well, they are going to follow you. So, and now, do you want to say who you voted for or who you're endorsing? You're welcome to. I mean, it might help whoever, you know, we are listened to by a lot of people in Las Vegas. So.
Sure. In fact, I've stayed away from endorsing politicians in the past because I just was never that excited about anybody.
Mm-hmm.
This year, I actually went public, and I've stayed firm. I endorse Michael Bednarik, and I endorse him in the strongest possible terms.
Very good.
Okay.
And give out your website for those people out there who want to check out your website and join your cause.
Sure, you bet. It's at www.ladyliberty.com. No E in the word liberty. It's LIBRTY.com. And I'd love to have everybody who wants to come over, take a look, say hello, drop me a note, whatever.
Very good. Now, maybe after election, we'd like to have come back on and we could, you know, rehash what's gone down, if you don't mind.
Absolutely, I'd love to.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Have a good night.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
You're listening to Subject to Discussion. I'm Debbie Hall with Sean O'Mac. Our first guest, Lady Liberty. Our second guest, Newt Gingrich.
And I don't know how this is going
to
work.
We're going to see how this is going to work.
But I got him on a tape. I ambushed the man at the bookstore last weekend, and because they wouldn't give me an interview, they wouldn't listen to me, and so I nailed him. But I had to give him 10 questions. Will this work? Do you think?
Oh, let's try it.
I don't know. I was only able to ask 3 questions, and then I managed to go to the library and I caught Shelley Berkeley there.
Okay.
And I pulled her over and hey, you're going to answer
right.
some questions for me, lady. You know, and I know somebody out there, Metal Master, is going to be all on me because. You know, she's a liberal and all this. I mean, we're trying to get guests on. I mean, so we'll see.
Yes. John is turning on the mic, or turning on the recorder now.
Chairman, I'm here with the former Speaker of the House, Newt Gingrich. He has a new book coming out called Grant Goes East, as well as Gettysburg, and a new book in January about the contract for America, correct?
Right.
Now, sir, speak about your book for a minute, please.
Well, we've had 2 novels about the Civil War, Gettysburg, where we have Lee Wynn as a different ending, and then we have Grant Comes East, which is what would have happened if Lee had won at Gettysburg. And then in January, we'll have a book come out called 21st Century Contract with America. We talk about ideas like personal social security accounts and other kind of things.
Very good. Now, looking at the 10th anniversary of the Contract for America, what is the best thing you've seen happen come out of the contract?
Well, probably the biggest thing that happened with the Contract with America was welfare reform. Over 60% of people who are in welfare are now working or going to school. Dramatic improvement, saved the taxpayer money, improved the lives of the people in welfare, improved their incomes, and gave them a better future.
What about the regret of the contract? Is there something that wasn't fulfilled that you'd like to see come back, perhaps?
Well, I think we need to get back to balanced budgets. I think there's something with lower taxes, lower interest rates, and a balanced budget is the healthiest long-term way to run the country. And I was very proud when we passed the balanced budget, and we had 4 consecutive years, the first time since the 1920s. But I think we need to go back and do that and rebalance it again.
Okay. Now, moving to the current scene, do you think that Kerry's goose-hunting thing is going to be his Dukakis moment?
Well, yeah, you do have to wonder. It's always kind of like windsurfer goes goose hunting. Obviously he's not a natural hunter. He doesn't have the rhythm of it. He didn't look like he was comfortable with himself. And it just tells you, I think, about how phony they're prepared to be, that they pretend to be almost anything.
Okay. Now, looking ahead, where do you see the country going by 2008? You said maybe you'll run for president against Hillary. You like the debater?
I'd love to. I didn't say I'd run for president,
okay.
But I'd love to debate. I said it's basically up to the people of the country. I think they've got to go find the right kind of candidate. But I do think you need somebody who's able to explain why our values work and why our philosophy works.
Well, personally, I think you should do a national radio show. I really think, we're going to like a weekend Hannity and Colton type of show, you and maybe Bill Press.
That'll be fun.
All right. Thank you very much. Bless you, sir. Thank you.
Good last answer.
Berkeley, like you say, just came from with Newt Gingrich, and Senator, what's the difference in your eyes between President Bush and Senator Kerry?
Well, there's a number of differences, obviously, but I'm awfully glad that you're trying or helping to get the younger voters out. When I was a kid going to UNLV, we were fighting to allow 18-year-olds to vote because, it was during the Vietnam War, and it was, if you're old enough to fight, you're old enough to vote. And in those days, 21-year-olds could only vote. So we fought very hard to have 18 to 21-year-olds vote. And what's bothered me the most all of these years, and now, of course, I'm 53 years old, what's bothered me the most is that's been the lowest voter turnout has been among our 18 to 21-year-old voters. But I think everybody is really energized this year. And, you know, I'm married to a Republican, so we practice bipartisanship every day in our home. So, for me, the most important thing is participating in the process. And it doesn't matter if you're a Republican or a Democrat. This is a very important year. And to make your voice heard, I don't want to hear anybody say their voice doesn't matter and no one's going to hear them or their vote doesn't count, because everybody's vote counts. And if you can remember back to the 2000 election, it wasn't too many hundred votes that determined the outcome of this election. So let's get everybody out. Now, your question to me is, why would young voters prefer Kerry to Bush? To me, this is a no-brainer. I've been in Congress now for 6 years, but of course I grew up in Southern Nevada. I went to John C. Fremont Junior High School, Valley High School. I am a graduate of UNLV, very proud graduate. I'm a rebel. I was a rebel then. I'm a rebel now. Look, I am a running rebel. I'll give you a couple of examples. Pell Grants. Now, a lot of the people that go to school at UNLV and CCSN, they're first-time college goers. No one in their family's ever gone to college before. I know I was the first person in my family to go to college. A lot of us depend on these grants and loans. There's a Pell Grant that the administration, the Bush administration, has been fighting Congress, fighting the Democrats in Congress while we try to up the amount of money. I mean, as tuition goes up across the United States, and we're pretty lucky here in Southern Nevada, we've been able to keep our tuition relatively low. But the fact of the matter is, why is the administration fighting us? There's absolutely no excuse for it. There are a million other reasons. We talk about this Leave No Child Behind. Now, I supported the president in the Leave No Child Behind legislation. Now, of course, that's for K-12, but, you know, you got to get a good education in K-12 so you can go on. Well, he underfunded the Leave No Child Behind by $27 billion. What does that tell you about this president's priorities, this administration's priorities? You got to put your money where your mouth is. This community, and nobody defends this community with more heart and soul than I do when I'm back in Washington, but this community has one of the highest dropout rates in the United States. The administration, President Bush, zeroed out all the dropout prevention money. Forget after-school programs, summer school programs, mentoring programs. There isn't a community in the United States that needs those programs more than we do here in Southern Nevada. Decimated them, cut them in half. There's no excuse for it, no excuse at all. And when you look at Iraq, now I voted to support the president going into Iraq, and I voted for the $87 billion. I'm known as a liberal hawk. I'm liberal on social issues. I'm a hawk on international issues. I think there is a threat of terrorism against this nation, and we need to defend ourselves. But this Iraq situation, the intelligence was abysmal. There is no excuse finding out after we go in, there's no weapons of mass destruction, no nuclear, no al-Qaeda ties, no imminent threat, and we have over 1,000 young people dead in Iraq. For what? What we needed to do and what this administration did not do is keep our eye on the ball. Let's go against the terrorists, and they were concentrated in Afghanistan. Now, of course, we've got such a mess in Iraq, I don't know quite frankly why anybody wants to be president of the United States. They're inheriting a mess. And this administration, and this to me is the most egregious. I voted for the first Bush tax cut. We had a $5 trillion surplus. He wanted to give back about $1 trillion. I said, why not? Better in people's pockets than in the government coffers. But we are now flip that upside down. We're running $480 billion deficit. Who's going to pay for this? You know, they have the nerve to say, tax and spend liberal, tax and spend liberal. Well, what the president and his administration is are tax and borrow extremists, as far as I'm concerned, because I'm telling you, it's the 18 to 21-year-olds, and I've got a 19-year-old and a 22-year-old son. They're going to be stuck with this bill because somebody pays the piper. So when you hear about this, I'm a tough guy, I'm a this guy, I'm a that guy, I don't believe the president is anything like that. And one of the things that I admire most about a man, and if you truly are strong in your beliefs, you're also willing to admit when you've made a mistake. This guy has never seen a mistake that he's made. There's nobody that's infallible. And I think when I look at a man and I determine whether or not he's somebody I'm going to support or I'll follow, he's going to be somebody that's willing to admit that they've made a mistake and make a mid-course correction. This president hasn't moved an inch, and that's not being strong. That's being foolish, and he's being foolish with us.
Now, looking ahead at the... Wow. I did hear a rumor you might be running for governor, and I don't know. Are you going to run for governor?
That rumor is false. I like what I'm doing.
Excellent. Anybody who goes there, my cousin is...
And for her, my arm is getting tired. She can talk. Somebody put a quarter in her and would probably watch up. Or,
that's right.
I don't know. She just went off. So anyway, now we're going to take calls or chatters about who you're voting for president.
That's right.
And why.
Yes.
No, just the president. You know, right. Who you're voting for.
Exactly.
Why you're voting. Just a quick little blurb. Don't, pontificate or bloviate or anything
else. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. The chat room. Well, Boston won, so that means Kerry will be president.
So,
this is according to Cyber Sorcerer.
Well, we'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens, yeah.
And, anyway, I'm going to go through some of the endorsements.
Yes.
Anybody wants to call in? Rolando, Diggs,
1-866-LV-ROCKS or 383-8120. You're listening to Subject to Discussion. I'm Debbie Hall with Sean O'Mac. We heard recorded interviews with Newt Gingrich and Shelley Berkeley.
The first time ever Newt Gingrich has graced an internet radio station show, period. He, you know what he was...
That's right.
He had a clue I was going to use it. And her either. She said she's never been on an internet show either. So it's one for the good guys, I'd say. But we had some endorsements from the newspapers from Monday. Among those endorsing Bush are the Columbus, Ohio Dispatch, the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, Houston Chronicle, well, no surprise there, Gazette of Cedar Rapids, Iowa, the Daily Sentinel of Grand Junction, Colorado, the Ocala, Florida Star Banner, Daily Times of New Mexico, Salt Lake Tribune. There's a few here and there. And then we have in the those backing Kerry include the Washington Post, the Chicago Sun-Times, the Des Moines Register, Quad City Times of Davenport, Iowa, the Orlando Sentinel, the Bismarck Tribune from North Dakota, Durango, Colorado Herald, the Fort Collins Herald. So anyway, they're all stacking up the endorsements. And I think the Las Vegas Sun has endorsed Kerry, and I'm pretty sure that the Review Journal has endorsed Bush.
Is this a shock?
So I don't know. We'll see. I'm sticking to my prediction. It's going to be 52% Bush, 47% Kerry, and 1% for Nader. That's where I think it's going to shake down.
And we will be here next Wednesday because, like I told you, it'd be anticlimactic for us not to be here to discuss the election. The coverage, that's a given. But, I mean, just how it goes and just, this will be one of the few, I think, very exciting election coverages.
If it's over by then, it could still be being decided. A lot of people are saying that
Wednesday we could still be talking.
The popular vote could be a certain way, but then neither one of them could get enough of the elected 270 electoral college votes to go. Now, if that doesn't happen, that goes into the House of Representatives. That means that the Republicans control the House.
Yes.
So that means Bush will get in. So, but I don't think anything's going to tilt the control of the House or the Senate. But the Senate's closer than the House. I think the Senate's only 3 seats off for the Democrats. Yep. And the House is just out of reach right now. So, but we'll see what happens. I mean, they're throwing all the big guns. I mean, say Clinton's out and run. They pulled him out of his hospital bed and they threw him out there in Philadelphia. 85,000 people.
Oh yeah.
Schwarzenegger's coming out this weekend with Bush in Ohio, I believe. They're going to barnstorm over Ohio.
Right.
And Kerry's, and both of them are actually flying all over the place. Bush has got 4 visits. Tomorrow he's zigzagging over to Midwest, and Kerry, I think he's got 3 large. He's going more. They say he's going for the larger venues now, like the arenas, like here at the Thomas and Mack, and the 15,000-20,000 people to show that they want to use the image of the huge crowds to show that he's got a huge backing behind him. So, but lights on. Do we have a call?
Mr. Producer, do we have a call?
Well, we got the Christmas lights are on, so
yeah,
no.
Yeah.
Not Christmas yet.
It's cold as it
could be. And let's see, what else do we have? The experts are afraid it's going to be a messy election, a disorderly election.
Oh, well, God.
So.
Say it isn't so. No, that's not true.
And I said they're hitting Ohio hard. Al Gore even came out of his tomb to he's like Dracula, isn't he? He comes out. He looks horrible.
Al Gore looks horrible.
Look, I don't know what he's doing.
Yes. and now everybody who's ever thought of running for a candidate is now the caption is former presidential, candidate Al Sharpton. I mean, Al ran for a minute.
Yeah.
But former presidential candidate, because, it's kind of like, I hate to say it, with when celebrities get into legal trouble like Michael Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
You get their cousin's 5th removed talking to the tabloid television. Well, now we have former presidential, candidates.
Well, it's the same with Shelley Berkeley. Peggy Carey was there, John Kerry's sister.
Right.
Like, well, why don't you interview her or actually a sitting congresswoman? I'll go for the congresswoman.
Right.
Nobody knows who Peggy Carey is. You know what I mean?
But they're dragging everybody out,
Every Schwarzenegger, Kennedy, they're all coming out for this.
Right.
And they said they wanted Clinton to come out last week, but the doctors didn't clear him for travel. So this week he's able to come out and start campaigning. So we'll see. And then they got Nader's kind of bouncing around a little bit too.
Right.
So we'll see. I think the country's so divided over this election.
Oh, I do too.
It's sad, but it's also good for the democracy as well. They're that much. It's good. They're energized. I just don't know if they're all going to come out and vote. Like we said, the young people. I've always been pushing young people to vote, register and vote. But I don't know if these people. There's been some emphasis on early voting, but they didn't advertise the right way.
They
should advertise on Howard Stern. Go where the younger people are watching.
God, yes.
Go on the internet and advertise early voting. But instead,
you know, they're going to count election day. And election day, the line's going to be around the block, and these kids aren't going to stand in line and
wait
to go in and vote. There's no way. And they look at all these questions, and, you know.
Exactly.
I don't know. What do you think?
So early voting, it ends, what is it, Saturday or Sunday?
Saturday.
That's what I thought. Okay, yeah. So Sunday and Monday you can't vote. So if you don't vote Saturday, then you have to wait till the Tuesday election.
That's
and that's 7 to 7.
Do you want to say who you voted for?
Yeah, I voted for Kerry.
You voted for Kerry.
I voted for Kerry.
Why?
Yeah, why? You know what? I'll be honest, and I'm sure, you know, the previous talk show host said it best. I truly believe I would have been throwing my vote away had I voted for a third-party candidate this time around. Again, it's got to be someone with money and presence. Now, if I see it, and I really do support a third party. I really, really would like to see an independent candidate come out so we just don't have the two choices. It wasn't this election, I'll be honest with you. So I think, you know, coming up now in 2008, somebody with experience, money, presence. You know, Perot did not have the presence, let's face it. You know, we had an independent candidate, Anderson, at one point, but he didn't have the presence either. We've already discussed.
I was going to say 80 with Carter.
Yeah, 80 with, exactly. Schwarzenegger, he's not a citizen. I know he's a citizen, but I mean, he wasn't born in the United States. We're talking about Jesse Ventura. He has presence, but does he really?
He's got the kook factor.
He's got the kook factor.
That hurts him.
But will he really have the money? So, if doing this, I said, okay, I want to make my vote count, and I decided to go with Kerry.
If we can get Wesley Clark to switch from a Democratic Party to a third party, Wesley Clark.
Yes.
I mean, having a military man in there might just have the discipline of the military.
Right.
He knows the military. He waged that war in Bosnia, so maybe.
Yes.
But, actually went against what you said. I voted for Michael Bednarik for president. And we interviewed him, and I went on his website, and I did some research. And some of the stuff he advocated some you know, like the IRS doesn't exist, and some of that's kind of, but I thought, well, we need to make a statement. I mean, I want to vote for someone.
Right.
I want to vote against Bush against Kerry, all the issues he hit on are good. You know, we tried it the Democratic way. We tried the Republican way.
Yeah.
Why not try it the Libertarian way?
Exactly.
For personal responsibility on us. The government's not our little nanny. It's going to breastfeed us when we're in trouble. And, same thing with the war on drugs. Legalize the damned marijuana, for crying out loud. Now, if the cigarettes are killing people, outlaw cigarettes, legalize marijuana, and have the cigarette companies manufacture marijuana. And they'll still get the sin tax, on the message board. And then they'll still get tax money.
Yeah,
because the government, like I said, and I keep repeating what I'm saying on the message board, but the government keeps fighting, don't smoke, the truth campaign.
Right.
And then the air breath, they're subsidizing the tobacco farmers.
Exactly.
So it's nuts. And then they're raising taxes to get money from, what is it? Do you want us to smoke or you don't want us to smoke? What do you want us to smoke?
Exactly.
Do you want us to smoke marijuana or want me to smoke some dandelion on the lawn?
That's
it's nuts, right?
That's right. Somebody actually brought up with a very viable candidate, and I hate to say it, he is very viable, Donald Trump.
Trump.
He is viable.
You said it before. He's got the kook factor too, Debbie.
Yeah. Oh, but no, he's got presence. He certainly has the income. You know, somebody here says he has a hot wife. I hate to say it. That's certainly
ex-wife. He's not married right now.
Well, he's getting married. He's engaged to the girlfriend.
Oh, she's 23 years old or whatever she is.
No. But he doesn't have as much of a kook factor as Jesse Ventura because Donald Trump is a very successful businessman, and he could run the same kind of campaign.
No, he's not. His companies went bankrupt. It's because he has one belly up.
Yeah, but then he came like the Phoenix.
Yeah,
he came from the ashes.
He went down again.
And he's back up again. He's making gazillions of dollars off his television endorsements.
I don't know. See, I am registered as a Reform Party.
Yeah.
I've been in Reform Party. I've been in United States of America. So some of the issues that go for immigration. See, some of the issues with libertarians, I back away from. They want open immigration.
Right. Yes.
You know, I don't want that. I want limited immigration. I'm gonna go back. We had 200,000 immigrants a year we allowed in the country for years and years and years. Now all of a sudden we opened up the floodgates and they all came in. And I said, once our unemployment rate goes over 6%, that's when we cut off the immigration to the 200,000 a year. No more of this 1,000,001 legally are coming in.
Right.
No, who knows? We have 8,000 a day come over illegally. And then I said, we have 100,000 troops in Europe. Bring them home. I'm going off. I'm not running for any office.
No.
bring them home and put them on the border of Mexico and put them in Canada. We got 100,000 troops sitting over in Europe doing nothing.
Yes.
You know, bring them home, put them on the border, put them on the Canadian border, and stop these illegal immigrants come in. You know, maybe increase, keep the, you know, legalize these immigrants. You know, have legal immigration coming in,
right.
But end this illegal immigration nonsense, right?
I agree. And no, there were many things that Michael said. I was very impressed with him at the interview too. Trust me, it was not that. It was I very carefully weighed my vote. This was one of the toughest elections. I mean, when I got my sample ballot, and I always read it, everybody, but this one was like, along with the presidential election, there were questions that just affected us here in Clark County that I had to really think about.
Yeah, the questions 4 and 5.
Yeah,
I voted
five.
For the police.
Yes.
I voted for John Porter. I voted against the major political candidate. I voted Libertarian. But I didn't want to vote for, what's his name, Gallagher.
Right.
I worked for a Castillo company, and it's my revenge on him. He laid a bunch of people off after 9/11, and he reaped millions. He got a big bonus after that, and that wasn't right. And who else?
Well, let's see about increasing the budget for the school or not doing anything else until the school budget.
Schools come first. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I think all the schools should be year-round. Year-round schools, because the summer's off. The idle minds are the playgrounds of the devil. You know,
I wouldn't go
absolutely.
That far. I'm saying more productivity.
Get wrapped up in sex and drugs. They need to stay in school. We're raising a bunch of dummies in this country. These kids are coming out of school idiots. You know, think about it. Look at the way they dress in the mall. The pants are dropping around their ankles. They don't know how to speak English. They're all like, hey, yo, what's up? Word life. I mean, come on, speak English.
So you're going to blame 2 months off of that?
Absolutely. They got nothing to do but have
it. I had summers off, and I turned just great.
Oh, yeah. Okay, pizza man. I'm just saying.
No, my fault was I went to UNLV.
Oh,
well, so did I, actually.
Oh,
so.
That explains everything.
I was agreeing with you until you said why. No, I think schools should be year-round. But because of why leave those buildings empty, you know, our population is exploding. We have a serious teacher shortage. I hate to say it. We'll pretty much take anybody. If you're breathing and you can pass, you know, the background check, you can be a teacher in Clark County.
That takes me out.
So I'm talking about that. Not so much that society has changed and that we don't put any value in education and the kids are the way they are because they have 2 months off. I have to tell you, no, that's not true.
These are idiots we're raising. Stark, raving idiots.
A lot of it is, though, too, about the change of society that parents, you know, they work all hours, the kids are unsupervised. That's it. It's not the two summer months off. It's the long, long hours that they're put in front of the television.
Well, that's true, too. The parents got to get out from behind the Monday Night Football and the Joe Sixpack and start taking time with their children. I mean, it's nuts.
Exactly.
You know?
Okay, I've got to read this.
Is there time?
I had a good joke here I wanted to read. Can I do the joke? Okay, you're listening to Subject to Discussion with Debbie Hall and Sean O'Mac. A man died and went to heaven. As he stood in front of St. Peter at the pearly gates, he saw a huge wall of clocks behind him. He asked, "What are all those clocks?" St. Peter answered, "Those are lie clocks. Everyone on earth has a lie clock. Every time you lie, the hands on your clock will move." "Oh," the man said, "whose clock is that?" "That's Mother Teresa's. The hands have never moved, indicating she never told a lie." "Wow, that's incredible," the man said. "And whose clock is that one?" St. Peter responded, "That Abraham Lincoln's clock. The hands have moved twice, telling us that Abe Lincoln only told two lies in his entire life." "Where's John's carry clock?" asked the man. "John's carry clock is in Jesus' office. He's using it as a ceiling fan." And on that note, I'm Debbie Hall.
I'm Sean. Now, next week, we have Rolando Larraz. He's the editor of the Las Vegas Tribune. He's going to come on and rehash the local elections and also the national election. Now, he's concerned. He doesn't speak perfect English, but, I mean, well, hell,
that's
you know, Rolando doesn't either. He does the show, too, so
that's
why
right.
not?
We're going to have him on.
Yes.
Thank you so much for listening. Stay tuned.
Vote.
Now, what show's coming up? What's the name
Vote.
Of the show?
Wild Women in Vegas.
Wild Women in Vegas, and thank you for this
Vote.
Joke. This is
Vote.
Awesome. Vote,
Vote,
Vote, Vote,
Vote,
Vote,
Vote,
Vote, Vote.
If you don't vote, get the hell out of this country.
Vote.
I'm out of here.
Vote.